I want to welcome everyone out this morning. This is our regular session of Commissioners Court for Friday, December the 30th, 2011. We'll begin this morning with an invocation by Commissioner Crittenden, and then we'll stand for our pledges.
Join me, please. Dear Lord, as we gather here this morning on this last working day of the year, we'd just like to reflect back on all the blessings that you bestowed upon us. We'd like to give thanks for those. I know it's so easy for us to focus on the negatives, but let us all remember this morning what we've been blessed with this past year and look forward to the blessings of the coming year. We ask you to go with us now and guide us and help us make the right decisions in this meeting that we're fixing to go through. Be with each one of us as we lay this meeting, and take care of those that are going to go out and celebrate this this New Year's. Please watch over all those, and we look forward to seeing everybody back on the next meeting of the New Year. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honoring the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Item 3 on the agenda is to consider and take action on approval of the minutes of the meeting held on December the 15th, 2011.
Make a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting held on December the 15th, 2011.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Crittenden, seconded by Commissioner Spencer to approve the minutes from December the 15th, 2011. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those are approved. Item B are payroll changes.
I move to approve payroll changes.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Hefner, seconded by Commissioner Crabtree to approve payroll changes. Those in favor?
Aye.
Payroll changes are approved. Item C is payroll.
Move to approve payroll.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Hefner, seconded by Commissioner Spencer to approve payroll. Those in favor?
Aye.
Payroll is approved. Item D are budget amendments. We don't have any this morning. Item D will not require any action. Item E are the accounts payable.
Move to approve accounts payable.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Spencer, seconded by Commissioner Crittenden to approve accounts payable. Those in favor?
Aye.
Accounts payable are approved. Item F are the auditor's reports.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Crabtree, seconded by Commissioner Crittenden to approve and record those auditor's reports. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those are recorded. Item G, your treasurer's reports? None.
The month's not over.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Item G won't require any action. Item H are the bonds and oaths. We do have deputation for Jacob Herman, bond for Carolyn Parrott.
Motion to accept and record.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Crabtree, seconded by Commissioner Spencer to accept and record. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those are accepted and recorded. Item I is the state and county tax summary.
Motion to approve and record.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Crabtree, seconded by Commissioner Crittenden to accept and record that. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's done. Item J are the applications for use of Upshur County roads and rights of way.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Crittenden, seconded by Commissioner Crabtree to approve the applications for use of our Upshur County roads and rights of way. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those are approved. Item 4 is to discuss and take action to approve JP Precinct 1 expenditure from JP Technology Fund for projector and computer. And I believe I saw Judge Norred come in. She's back there. She's requested, her clerk needs a new computer at an approximate cost of $800 and a projector so that she can use it for education in her courtroom at an approximate cost of $700. There is $11,000 budgeted this year, and the total fund has over $43,000 in it.
What was the
price?
$245.
About $1,500 for both of them.
About $1,500.
Which one was $8?
But it's coming out of her.
The computer is $8, and the projector is $7.
I looked, there's $45,200,
Yeah.
And then there's $11,000.
There's $11,000 budgeted.
I'll make a motion to approve the expenditure for JP 1 out of JP Technology Fund for
Second.
The projector and the computer.
For $800 for the computer and $700 for the projector.
Yes, sir.
The motion by Commissioner Crittenden is to approve the expenditure of $800 for a computer and $700 for a projector out of JP Technology Fund for JP number 1. Seconded by Commissioner Hefner. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. Item 5 is to discuss and take action to place Heritage Bend of Serenity Estates on the 2-year waiting period.
This has got the Lane Roberts owns this subdivision in Diana, and he's just built this new road in there and want to put on the waiting list. Eric, is it?
Okay.
And you also had a question about the bond.
I have visited the roadway and it was built to our specifications. Only question, like I say, I was trying to present before the meeting, is whether or not you would require a surety bond to accompany the request for the waiting period.
So is this something that you want to get into a habit of always making every road we put on having a surety bond?
I do, because that's what the policies I've read on record do require.
Can you show us that policy? Can you bring? I saw it the first time this morning, that policy. So.
Okay.
It just says something about getting a surety bond.
Did you get a new one?
No, if the new one you're referenced to was the entire subdivision specs, it's the same, but I don't have that with me.
I don't have.
You see that on down there? I don't know. I have no preference either way. If we require
the bond, do we require them to be placed on the 2-year waiting list?
That's a good question.
See, I thought last time we talked about all this. This is my recollection of it was the options that are kind of out there is you can either require a bond or a 2-year waiting period. But if we've got the 2-year waiting period, I really don't know what the bond would serve as far as we're concerned.
Right.
I don't know if it would help or hurt the developer.
What I've understood talking to our local developers, it would benefit them to have the bond because it would cover any last minute out of pocket expenses to make repairs.
Approximately what would a bond cost? Do you have any idea?
Don't know, I can't quote any numbers. I know the bond is specified to be for the amount it costs to build the roadway.
Is that kind of like, that sounds more like an insurance fund?
That's exactly what it is. It's an insurance policy so that
if his work fails, the bond will take care of it instead of him having it, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's,
But then the question comes in, and excuse me.
Here you go, Eric.
The way you said it, we're going to make the repairs and bill the bond company?
I've mentioned that in the past. After rethinking that, my logic would say we have a contractor to make the repairs because it's not our roadway at the time the repairs are made.
That's correct.
Okay, that was.
Yeah.
So see, I really don't, it's from the county's viewpoint, is it going to matter to us if it's got to be fixed before we accept it anyway?
It's got to be fixed before we accept it anyway.
Well, I mean, it would be at the discretion of the owner of the subdivision or owner of the road.
Right, if they want to buy a bond.
I guess they could.
Then they should buy one.
They got to fix it one way or the other, we don't take it.
So the thing is, what's the wording on the bond? Does it say that we require a bond or they shall have a bond?
It says a good and sufficient surety bond made payable to the county judge or his successors in office is required.
So that's a requirement that we're not upholding, that we're not requiring one at this point in time.
See, I know we've got a new one since then, and I don't have it with me,
right?
And so I'm a little bit uncertain if the new one has that same language in it, because I think that's one of those things that we.
You think it does?
I believe it does.
I think we discussed that.
When you adopted the revised.
Right. But I don't think we changed that word. I don't think we changed that part of it.
Somewhere around 2005, I believe. Somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
It may be something that we want to look at for the next meeting and either do away with the two-year waiting period and go by if that's what the rules say or whatever, just go by that there. And make the bond for 2 years. I mean, they're still on 2 year waiting period, but the fact of it is, they know that.
Especially a 2 year performance guarantee is what it would relate to.
That would basically, if we did that right there, that would make for sure that they went out there and kept check on the roads that they had built in the county to keep them up to standards without it like falling apart and going out there the last 6 months or 3 months and putting it back together again.
Plus, and it's your plus side to that is that if one of the developers happens to go broke, that there's money to take care of that road.
Right, and then you're
that's your big plus.
Your property holders
some
out
of these
there,
smaller
then,
developers, it has happened.
Yeah, then your property holders are covered for
and
a subdivision they bought into.
You're protecting the citizens that live there.
They're protected.
Did Mr. Roberts express favor for the bond?
I didn't speak to him this past week on the roadway with him. I have talked to developer Trey Wick. He was in full support. But like I say, I don't want to speak for them.
Okay.
But I believe it would benefit developers.
So what do you think?
There's two sides to it. You protect the people who buy the lots there if you require the bond. Mm-hmm. To the county, as far as the county, we're not going to accept the road after the 2 years if it doesn't meet specs anyway. So it really doesn't matter to the county and road and bridge.
But traditionally we have accepted roads that didn't meet specs.
Okay.
And so.
Yeah, but
shouldn't
we? Yeah. I agree.
We're
shouldn't. And so
get out of that.
And so why don't we? I mean,
I don't think our specs were enforced from the start when they started building the road was the problem.
What are you thinking, Lloyd?
I'm thinking to just like Commissioner Crittenden, we need to mark this one down. But if we will do away with the 2 year waiting period, and at the point that the road is good enough for us to accept, then we accept it, and we take that liability on. You know. Forever after that point.
Okay, before we get too
that's
far,
a, that's the change in policy. I understand that.
We're getting a little too far down this road. Really, the agenda item is discuss and take action to place Heritage Bend of Serendia Estates on the two-year waiting period. So, that's really all we need to be discussing today.
Okay.
I move that we accept the Heritage Band of Serenity Estates on the two-year waiting period with a performance bond. Surety bond on the road.
You want to table it?
Yeah.
I don't think that.
I think so.
That at the point where we are.
And I'll call.
That we should, we should say, okay, we're going to enforce this policy that.
Yeah.
That I'm not completely sure that we've adopted a new one since then.
There's a road in mind.
Okay, well, why don't we just bring it back next time?
Yeah. You want to withdraw your motion?
Yes, I'll withdraw my motion.
I'll move to table this to the next meeting, and I'll contact Lane, and we can.
Find out what the bond's going to cost, then talk to Eric, yeah. Item six is to discuss and take action to advertise and accept bids for lease of Upshur County school land. And Mr. Glenn Leach wanted to speak to this item.
Thank you. In 1838, the Republic of Texas and later the state of Texas began setting aside land for each county to fund establishment of public schools. The Upshur County Commissioners Court, as trustee of the county school lands, has a fiduciary duty to provide for the protection, the preservation, and the disposition of the land granted to the county and to the funds derived from the county school land. The Upshur County school land is a unique trust established by the Texas Constitution with very specific guidelines on how the funds derived from the land can be used. The Texas Constitution, Article 7, Section 6, and numerous case laws provide that no money from the school land can be diverted for any other purpose than for the benefit of the public schools in that county. Money from the school lands cannot be diverted to pay for locating or surveying the county school lands. Money received from the county school land cannot be diverted to improve the land by building a house on that land. Spade Ranch first leased the Upshur County school land in 2002. The school land lease between Upshur County and Spade Ranch was structured so that the lion's share of the lease money goes back to the county to use in their school systems. But a percentage of the lease payment is used by Spade Ranch for conservation improvements. Until Spade Ranch took over the Upshur County land, it was leased strictly on a cash lease basis. It is my opinion that this diversion of a percentage of the lease payment back to Spade Ranch for conservation improvements is a violation of the Texas Constitution and numerous Attorney General opinions and case law. I have provided a copy of Attorney General Opinion number JM-729. This opinion addresses the issue of whether a commissioner's court may make improvements on county school land from proceeds received from the lease of that land. This opinion states that a commissioner's court cannot build a house or make other improvements upon county-owned school land with funds from the rental or sale of said land. It also provides that none of the lease proceeds shall be applied to any purpose other than that which is authorized by the Texas Constitution, the Texas Education Code, and previous Attorney General's opinions. The 2007 lease between Upshur County and Spade Ranch was not the highest bid, but the contract was offered to Spade Ranch at a discount, provided they provide or spend at least $3 per acre per year on a land improvement plan that might include fencing, soil erosion, weed and brush control, and water impoundments. Again, I believe that this discount and diversion of money back to Spade Ranch is a violation of the Texas Constitution. I have also provided a copy of the service use agreement between Spade Ranch and McKay Petroleum dated April 16, 2010. This contract provides that McKay Petroleum pays Spade Ranches for the use of roads on the property. It provides that new roads to be paid to Spade from McKay to each well at $12 per rod, which are 16.5 feet per rod. That existing roads to each well be paid to Spade at $6 per rod. Pipelines up to 4.5 inches diameter at $16.5 per rod. Single pole electric lines, $50 per pole. Drill site for an oil well, $10,000. Tank battery site, $5,000. This contract also provides that seismic operations performed on the land, McCabe will pay Spade $50,000 for damages to the land for seismic operations, and Spade will pay the same $50,000 to the seismic company to grub and pile brush. This contract provides that all payments and obligation of McCabe are to be paid to Spade and not apportionated with Upshur County. On September the 15th, 2009, Upshur County Commissioner's Court granted a permit to conduct geophysical operations to McCabe Petroleum.
Mr. Leach, you've used about 4 minutes, so if you'll just wrap it up there. You're allowed 3 minutes under the court's rules.
This contract states in consideration for this permit covering geophysical operations on lands described for any other surface damage, contractor shall make payment to grantor in amount of $48,644.21. This money has not been placed in the permanent school fund for the schools of Upshur County. This money has been diverted in violation of the Texas Constitution. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Leach. Our current lease on our land ends on May the 31st, and so we probably need, what I was going to suggest is that we advertise and then we open bids on March the 15th. And that way it would give us time to look at them.
Are we going to have a bid packet stating what they're bidding on?
Okay. We did last time.
Some guidelines.
Yeah.
Or just a flat out lease.
If you're advertising something for public bid, there has to be a bid specification.
Please wait until you're identified by the court before you speak.
Okay.
Is there a provision?
And before you speak to any item, you have to sign up. Prior to reaching the item, so Mr. McAvoy.
Okay, we'll revisit it.
The right here it says that gives the terms of the lease when it begins, when it ends. Then it says if leasee chooses to exercise this option, lessor may increase the rental set out herein in amount not to exceed 20%. Does that mean we can? What does that mean? Does that mean we can just renegotiate and keep on going, or forbid?
Yeah.
Because it says if leasee chooses this option, that's the person leasing the property.
That's Spade.
So they can say
we'd rather. They're not going to exercise that option.
They just want to bid.
Okay. Yeah.
So basically, Judge, I think what the item on the agenda for this morning was to discuss what dates and where we want to run ads to go out for the bids. Is that
right?
Was that the purpose of this?
Right.
Okay. And you're recommending to open the bids on March the 15th. And what dates did you want to advertise?
Doesn't matter to me when, but we need to get it out there as soon as possible so that,
and we need to get these specs written up for it,
right?
So I mean, there's a few changes that need to be made to that.
Judge, okay. Could I ask something?
Yes, ma'am.
In the last contract that we had a 15% late fee in that. Could I ask that be put in there also on the next one?
Sure.
Could utilize that. They were late,
and
it was
$25,000. And I'm going to say, like Mr. Leach said, those service damages and stuff, we've got to address that clause in there.
Do we want to draw up some kind of specification package, like you said, and whoever's interested in bidding can?
Yeah, I've got a couple people that have asked for a packet already.
Okay.
So we need to prepare that packet?
Yeah, they want to know what.
So.
And we need to make sure that if the surface damages are supposed to.
So we need to prepare that pack and bring it back for approval.
That's right.
Before we advertise it. So we'll bring that back on the 15th.
We're going to do that?
I mean, that's we can't sit down in there and go through the changes that we want to make to it. So it has to be brought before us for approval.
Okay.
Correct.
So we need to fine-tune the...
I'll work on one next week.
We need to fine-tune the current lease.
The 13th of January.
13th or the 16th?
16th's a holiday.
16th's a holiday.
It's 13th.
My phone don't tell me it's a holiday.
Well, somebody's got a calendar.
I looked at the dates that we adopted, or what we passed them out. January 13th.
Is that President's Day? What is that?
We need a calendar.
Okay.
We're good.
So the mid-January meeting?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Judge, the 13th is the date that we adopted.
Okay, I'll get a packet together.
That way we can... We know.
Are you going to do one and give us a copy and then...
That way we can get it in time to...
Ahead of time.
Hash it out?
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
We'll do that. Item 7 is to discuss and take action regarding Upshur County's policy regarding personnel holidays.
Judge, I wasn't clear on 6 yet.
We're going to come back on the 15th or the next meeting and establish some kind of...
Establish the dates that we're going to...
Well, we're going to have...
Advertise?
We're going to have the packet.
And have a packet.
We're going to...
Okay, so that would depend on if we can agree with the packet.
So the date that you discussed, the March the 15th of opening the bids...
It's not official.
That's not going to be considered now?
I mean, I'll probably still recommend that, but... That's not it right now.
Because their lease expires the
31st of May.
Okay.
And the thing is that if we get a different lessee, then they need to have time to get off, and we need time to get the lease prepared.
They have to get a bond and everything, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All kinds of stuff.
They need that time.
Yeah.
Anything else?
So this is going to be revisited on January the 13th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else?
That's all I know on that one. That's
all right.
Getting the ball rolling,
I think.
Item 7 is to discuss and take action regarding Upshur County policy regarding personnel holidays. And I drew up what I thought brought everything in that we discussed last time.
I've read over what you prepared, and I'm happy with it.
I agree.
The only part that I've got a concern about, Judge, is... Mr. Heffner won't appreciate this, but the fact that we did not include in here, if they retire a day after or a week after a holiday, we agreed at that point in time that they would still be eligible to draw that holiday. And that was not included in this after I read a little closer.
Is that going to be hard to manage?
It was a little bit hard to write that. So here's how I finally came down on it. If you're going to retire, then you just leave a day or two early and use that day before your official retirement day. Yeah. In other words, if you're owed a day, then...
And your last day's the 31st, just make the 30th your last day.
Yeah, just don't come to work on the 31st and you get paid for it. Does that make sense?
They might be a little management on the personnel.
So they're still going to get paid for it.
They still don't lose it, okay.
They still don't lose it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they'll manage the time correctly.
Okay.
All right. I move that we accept it.
Hey, let me read this just so I want to make sure.
Okay.
Yes, I do. Somewhere. So I want to make sure, remember what you expressed concern about the, I don't know where it is. I thought you'd give me one and I had one.
Well, this one.
You'd expressed concern that if they work a 12-hour shift on a holiday.
Or
10-hour. And they get an 8-hour holiday, that if they take off a full shift, that the remaining 4 hours come from either holiday time that's already on the books or some other.
It says Upshur County holiday shall consist of 1 8-hour day per each day designated as a county holiday by the Upshur County Commissioner's Court.
Okay.
And then we'll just have to specify to them, when they're hired in or anything else, we'll go over this.
You see what she's saying? If they take off a 12-hour shift, we don't want to give them the 8 hours off and then pay them for the 4 hours. They'll have to get that 4 hours from something else.
Well, they have to have so many hours per week, you know, worked. And where I've seen a problem in, like, even somebody working 10 hours, they're given 8 hours, but they're not taking the 2 hours from something else. And they should be taking the 2 hours from holiday time or vacation or something like that.
And are they most paid for the 2 hours? Is that what they're doing? Drawing
yes.
pay for the remaining
they'll,
hours?
They'll have to take it from some other time source.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Yes, because the holiday is an 8-hour day.
Yes. Okay. And I would like to see if they are, if they have gone over, that they take it from, so I'm just suggesting they take it from the holiday time.
That would make sense.
Because if they've got an overage in that holiday day, it brings it down. Mm-hmm. So, but I appreciate this. I'll get this out to them.
But you think this is sufficient?
I haven't read it yet. But I'm pretty sure whatever y'all said.
8 hours on a holiday for a holiday.
Yeah. Right.
So
yes.
We couldn't take it from there. If I understand what you're saying, I mean.
No, what if they work extra hours over, they're only given that 8 hours, or if they're taking that day off, you know, and they're on a 12-hour day, 12-hour shift, you know, for each day.
But I thought you said, so if they work like anything over 8 to take the balance out of the holiday
right.
pay.
Yeah, but it's not in, that's what she said, it's not no. spelled out.
It'll work out.
But
it'll
if it,
work
it out.
Okay.
It'll work out.
Okay.
Way we explain it to them, and most of them know how their pay, how their timesheets are, and this and other. And when I get a signed copy by the court and everything, I'll send it out, fax it out to the departments that have the holidays, basically. But it'll go in everybody's payroll.
Okay.
Check on the 13th
so,
also.
So, do we have any idea what this is going to do to our comp time? When everybody,
well,
when it gets getting down
know.
To the
it's,
deadline, and everybody's. Wants to take off?
I don't know. Their department head will have to really mm-hmm. work on
manage
that. And,
their department
and,
head will have to manage that, and they'll have
yeah.
to stay in their budget.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they were given a budget.
So
I would hope that they would stick with the money that they're budgeted.
Well, when my people revert back, they revert back to 10 hours during the summer hours and everything. And when we have holidays, I mean, we revert back to a regular week, you know. In that sense, but with the sheriff and the jail, they're on 24 hours,
mm-hmm.
and they have a lot more.
He
they
said
have a lot
he can
of personnel,
make it work.
And he they will work with.
He can
it.
Make
I know
it work.
They will.
He said he can make it work.
Yeah,
I got faith in him.
I'm there. I'm
over the weeds.
Well, that's that department head that has to do that.
So. I know.
We accept the new Upshur County policy regarding personnel holidays.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Spencer, seconded by Commissioner Heffner, that we accept the policy regarding personnel holidays. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's adopted.
No, you start.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.